Psalm 103. Psalm 103 and Luke 18. Get both in places. Psalm 103, verse 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Now, look in Luke chapter 18. Verse 9. And He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do. They just pray with themselves. God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. Give us liberty to preach, power to preach. I pray that You would undertake and enable us, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Take care of it and help our infirmities and our shortcomings. And give us liberty to preach Thy Word, to be a blessing to Thy people, and exalt Thy name. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I was at gospel singing the other night. I love gospel music. And Gold City was singing. They've got a new song out. And I guess they've actually got a couple, but one of the ones they sang was Mercy Came Running. And it's a great little song. I really liked it. And this message is not like that at all, but I got that thought in my head. And all the way home that night, I kept thinking, mercy came running. And I just want to talk to you this morning about mercy. Mercy is one of the greatest words in all of the world. It's better than justice. It's better than pardon. It's better than forgiveness. Now, I love all those other words. But, brother, without mercy, none of those other things would ever take place. Amen. I looked it up in my 1828 semi-inspired American dictionary. The first dictionary of the American language there ever was. If you want to trace all of our words back to their roots, you know, they try to tell you you can't do that, but in 1828, Noah Webster printed a dictionary of the American language. If you want to know what a word meant way back when it started, that's the place to go, amen? You can buy one of those down at any religious book supply for $30 or $40, whatever they are. But here's what Noah Webster's dictionary said. Mercy. You're going to have to love this. I mean, this word is just absolute. I never thought about it in this light, but it's just the most amazing word. Mercy. That benevolence, mildness, or tenderness of heart which disposes a person to overlook injuries or to treat an offender better than he deserves. Well, I've been there. The disposition that tempers justice and induces an injured person to forgive trespasses and injuries and to forbear punishment or to inflict less than justice or law will warrant. In this sense, there is perhaps no other word in our language precisely synonymous with mercy. So now understand what mercy is. It's that thing in you or that thing in God that disposes you to show kindness or goodness to somebody what ain't got it coming. It's that thing in you or that personality characteristic of God that disposes Him to look at our wickedness and our sorrowness and our failures and our shortcomings and to inflict on us less than the law requires. I talked to a fellow one time years ago and he said, all I want is justice. I said, have mercy, son. If I got justice, I'd die and go to hell. If I got what I had coming, if God gave me justice for my offenses, I would perish without God and without hope. All are sinners and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Amen? The wages of sin is death. If God gave you justice, if He looked at the law and the law says, you have violated me. You've broken my commandments. You've transgressed against God. And here is the just punishment for your transgression. The wages of sin is death. I would have to die and go to a devil's hell forever and ever with no possibility of pardon, with no possibility of parole, no possibility of a reprieve. I would just be there forever. If I got justice, I'd burn like a worm in a frying pan on a hot summer day. I don't want justice. I don't want it. To me, justice is just about the ugliest word in the English language. Amen? Now, maybe you're sitting there this morning and you were like the Pharisee we just read about. Self-righteous. And you say, well, I thank God that I'm not like other men. I don't do this and I don't do that. And you are proud and stuck on yourself because you've never committed adultery. You've never committed murder. You never robbed a bank. And so you just pretty good folk. Well, I'll tell you something, sweetie. You on your way to hell like a bullet down a gun barrel if that's all you got. Amen? That Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. There is none righteous, no, not one. You know something? You may not be an adulterer, and you may not be a murderer. You may not be a bank robber, but you're a liar. But you're a liar. And you may not be a murderer. You may not be a bank robber, but you're a liar. You may not be a bank robber, but you're a liar. It ain't because you're any better than anybody else. Paul said, best Christian that ever lived, Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no grief. And he had a life. You know what old Paul needed? Paul needed mercy. Boy, don't you ever, I'm serious, a heart attack. Don't you ever come down and tell God you want justice. Amen. David prayed some things one time that I was scared to pray. He said, Lord, thou knowest me. Try me and prove me. I ain't prayed that prayer yet. Amen. I hear people all the time saying, Lord, whatever it takes to make me do this or that, do it. I can't quite pray that one either. I mean, Lord can do a lot of stuff. Amen. That's higher ground than I can get to. Amen. I don't know if I'm man enough to pay the price for some things or not. I just don't. I wish it was. Now, there's some marvelous verses in the Bible that deal with mercy. For example, in Psalm 94 and verse 18, the Bible said, my foot slippeth. Thy mercy, O Lord, hath held me up. Glory to God. You ever watch a mama or daddy with a little old youngin'? And maybe they out uptown, you know, and they cross in the streets or they walk in someplace and there's a curb or some steps or maybe there's a mud puddle or something. And mama and daddy got that little old youngin' by hand. And they starting to cross there, and when they get to the curb, mama and daddy picks that little baby up and sets them across. Or they're walking down through there and there's a mud hole. And mama's on one side and daddy's on the other side. And just as they get to the mud hole, in unison, they pick them up and set them across it. Amen? Amen? Say, why? Well, because they're liable to slip and fall.
Or sometimes, I know we raised three kids and they get on the couch and play. Now, they wasn't supposed to, but you know how kids are. They just don't always do what they're supposed to do. And we'd holler, now get down from that thing before you fall and get hurt. I ain't going to get hurt. And here they come. And boy, you'd be flying across the living room and grab them just before they slipped and fell. But I caught them and held them up. Now listen, I'm a full-grown man. I'm 62 years old. But boy, there have been times in my life when I slipped. I guarantee you ain't always been all you were supposed to be. You ain't always done all you were supposed to do. There's been some times your heart was right and you wanted to, but because of weakness of the flesh, your circumstance in life, you stumble and you slip and you're fixing to fall and be all banged up. And God just reached down and get that little young about a hand and hold him up. Amen. That's mercy. He couldn't let you bang your head. Amen. He couldn't just let you go and say, okay, yeah, you're not going to get hurt. Go ahead, try it. And let you get all skinned up and put a gold knot on your forehead. But God showed mercy. In Psalm 145 and verse 8, the Bible said, the Lord is slow to anger and of great mercy. Now, boy, I tell you what, I got thinking about that. And I like to think that for the most part, I'm pretty even tempered. I don't like to fly off the handle. But you ever get tired or weary or you're aggravated and you just don't feel good or things just ain't going right or you've had two or three upsets already and your temper is just about that long? I got one of those things on my desk, you know, it said, when I got up this morning, I had one nerve left and danged if you ain't stepped on it. And boy, somebody say something and do something, boy, you just fly off the handle and you just jump right down their throat. Amen? I mean, just don't take much to set us off. As a matter of fact, most of us can be in a good mood and singing zip-dee-doo-dah and all, I mean, just having a good old time and everything going our way and our blood pressure's good and all this, that, and the other and you just let somebody irritate us two or three times. Amen. My wife sometimes, glory to God, I mean, I love her to death. Nobody ever had a better wife than I got. But being the best wife in the world don't make her perfect. I'm going to tell you that right now. Amen. I like to sit in my chair with a handful of books and kind of watch the TV and study and work at the same time. And I get involved in it. And I get to reading and I get to thinking and my mind's trying to process all that stuff and it takes more processing than it used to. Amen. I'm looking for a new chip for my server unit. But I'm trying to work. And she's reading a newspaper, a magazine. And she's constantly saying, listen to this. You need to read this. Will you leave me alone? I'm trying to read and think here. Then she wants me to be interested in what she's interested in. Amen. And I don't care nothing about no court TV. But I normally never say anything. In my head, and I listen, and I'm very nice about it. But I really am aggravated. See, what is that? That's a demonstration of slow to anger. Amen. Now that's what God does. We aggravate Him all the time. The coldness of our heart, the deadness of our lives, our lack of service, our lack of willing to reach out to others, our unwillingness to do things, our stinginess and all that. I just can't imagine how irritated God gets with us sometimes. Thank God that He is slow to anger and plentiful in mercy. Man, when I got a thrashing coming, sometimes the Lord said, I'll just love Him instead. Amen. And God shows me mercy. Now, I don't have it coming. I don't deserve it. You don't have it coming. You don't deserve it. God just gives it to us because that's just the way God is. Amen. Your youngins ever get on your nerves? I mean, sometimes you can just pinch their head off and throw it at their dying butt. You know what I mean? My daddy used to say, boss, I'm going to stomp a mud hole in your butt and walk it dry. I mean, just get plumb aggravated with them. And then they start to cry and pucker up, you know, and they get that little old hurt look on their face.
And you forget all about whacking them. The first thing you know, you got them over there hugging up on them and giving them a candy bar and this, that, and the other. Now, you got to watch girls, buddy, because they rap them daddy. I mean, they learn to play that thing. I say, you got to be careful. Say, how do you know? I raised two girls, that's why. And I was a sucker for both of them. But God shows mercy. Thank God. Now, listen, Lamentation, I love this verse. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. The Bible said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. If it wasn't for the mercy of God, everybody in this room would be dead and in hell. Amen? If it wasn't for the mercy of God, God might have let the things you've done in your life just come to a fruition. He might just let them come to their logical end. Wouldn't that be an awful thing? The things we've done and the acts we've committed and the things we've said, if God didn't wash it out, if God didn't interrupt it, if He just let it run its natural course, wonder what kind of mess our life would be in. It, believe me, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Amen? And it would be self-destruction. I got to hurry. Psalm 123 and verse 3. The Bible said, have mercy upon us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. I like that. You know, there's sometimes you get in certain situations and You have a certain degree of spontaneousness. If you're out on Interstate 77 and an 18-wheeler doing 70 miles an hour gets in your lane, and y'all coming together at about 130 miles an hour closing speed, head on, and I mean you're just driving along there, talking on your cell phone, looking at your map, and all of a sudden you look up, and that big old 18-wheeler's in the wrong lane, and all you can see is that guy's face in the windshield. Now you're getting close when you get there. You know what you're gonna do? You don't have to think about it. You don't have to get out a book and look up. Well, what is the next move? Amen. What do I do now? What's the first thing I do when I see the guy's mustache in his windshield? You instinctively know. And you will do it spontaneously. You'll say, oh God! That's called a Nehemiah prayer. Amen? That's reading that moron, George Burns was a fool. That old man made a movie called Oh God. And he played God. And he walked around smoking a big old cigar about that long, pretending he was God. And he called, and the name of that movie was Oh God. Man, that's a prayer when you're in a dying situation. That's a prayer that you utter when you don't have time to say or do anything else. I would have never made that movie. I never played that part. I mean, that's scary ground as far as I'm concerned. That old man lived to be 100. See, God didn't do nothing. No, God was merciful to George Burns. Let him live 100 years. But he's dead and in hell now. Amen. Now, have mercy on us, O Lord. Boy, sometimes you get in a mess and you're saying, Lord, please be merciful. Please don't let this thing come to fruition. Work its way out. Lord, have mercy. Blot out my foolishness. Override my stupidity. Amen? But I guarantee you get down in there and you can pray. And the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I guarantee when you get yourself in a mess and you're fixing to lose it all or be destroyed by it, I guarantee you can get fervent in prayer. Amen? And sometimes God just has mercy on you. Has mercy. You say, boy, I was lucky there. No, God intervene. God got on your side. But and I believe in luck. Brother Lewis, you know, I believe in because of randomness in the system and all. I mean, I've studied some of that and taught on it every now and then. I believe all that stuff. But I tell you what, buddy, when something goes good, I'm going to blame it on God. Amen? I'd rather give Him credit He ain't got coming than to take away what He does. Amen? I ain't going to in that area. Buddy, if it's good and beneficial and helpful, I'm going to say, God did it. I ain't going to blame it on luck. I think you spell luck G-O-D. I got to move along here. James chapter 5, verse 11. The Bible said, the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Sometimes people get the idea that God's just a big old meanie sitting in the sky just kind of looking for a reason to whop you upside the head. And that's not what God's like at all. God's like a father. I've never known anybody that enjoyed having to womp their young'uns. Now, we womp them sometimes because they need it and because we love them. Amen? But boy, I bet you ain't never enjoyed it. I remember when our girls were little. One time, Angel did something and she had one coming. I mean, she really deserved it. I took her back there. I was going to give her a couple of licks. I took my belt and I whacked her a couple, you know. Boy, she's just crying, big old tears and all that stuff. And I went out of the room, put my belt on the floor and walked out in the backyard. I cried more than she did. Man, I was a nervous wreck. It just tore me up. I hated hitting my young. And I did it because she needed it. Amen. But I tell you what, you don't enjoy whomping on the ones you love. That's some of the hardest things you'll ever do in your life. You tell them someone, now, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. They don't believe that. But one of these days they'll have some, they'll find out. Amen. It hurts me worse than it hurted you. The Lord is tender, of a tender mercy. He's pitiful and of a tender mercy. That means pitiful means he listens to your little problems and he listens to your complaints and they touch him. They touch him. He's not hard. He's not callous. He's pitiful. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he's merciful. And boy, when you get God's ear, it's hard for God to want. But people say, well, I tell you right now, if those so-and-so say it, God's going to get them for that. God's going to chasten them. And I believe in chastening. I believe if you're a son and not a bastard, you get chastened. I believe all that. But I think sometimes God's a lot more long-suffering than me and you. Amen. So, well, I tell you, I believe if somebody's doing that and they was really saved, God would have killed him by now. I'm glad that God is pitiful and of a tender mercy and slow to anger. Now, that's some of the marvelous things about mercy. And then in the Bible, there's all kinds of demonstration of God's mercy. There's a fellow back there named Lot. Now, if anybody didn't deserve mercy, it's Lot. Lot came from the right kind of family. Had the right kind of pedigree. He's related to Abraham. He knows God. But old Lot lost sight of all that was good and holy and righteous and moved in down there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? And sent his kids to a public school down there. And a public school turned their heart and their mind from God. And all his young'uns married boys from Sodom. Amen? And when Lot came down there to preach that last big sermon right before God sent the atomic bomb to blow Sodom off the face of the earth, all his family and all his son-in-laws laughed at him. Amen? And then Lot gets down there and he whines and cries, you know, spare the city, spare the city. And God just kept showing mercy and showing mercy. And finally got down and said, you can find five, you know. I'll spare. God showed mercy. God showed mercy to Lot. Lot didn't have it coming. He was a poor example of a believer. He was a poor example of a man. He was a poor example of a father. He was a poor example of a husband. And God showed mercy to him anyway. Amen? Over there in the little book of Ruth, God shows mercy to Naomi and to Ruth. Naomi goes down with her sons, two sons and her husband. And they go down to live in this other land because of the famine and all this, that, and the other. And they go down there, and her husband died, and her two boys died. And she starts back home, and when she starts back home, she got a little old overnight bag with her makeup and a change of underwear and a couple of McDonald's coupons. That's all she's got. And she's headed back down to the homeland. She's coming back with nothing. She's going to have to go down there and face mom and daddy and all them kinfolk with no husband and no money. She's going to have to come back down there as a failure. She's going to have to move in with somebody, mooch off of somebody so she can get a job and get started. That stuff still happens today, see? That Bible's as up to date today as anything you ever read. And they get down there, and it just so happens, it's harvest season, and old Boaz is out there cutting the wheat down and the barley and all this, that, and the other, and God worked that thing out and got old Naomi and Ruth over there and got hooked up with Boaz and married into that rich family and got her a nice place to stay, got her a new little old Caprice car to drive, and I mean all that good stuff, you know, and boy, she's sitting around there at night watching court TV and eating popcorn because God showed mercy. She didn't have that coming. She didn't do anything to deserve it.
Amen? God just gave them handfuls on purpose. That's God showing mercy to a Gentile dog that did not have it coming. Amen. Oh, I got to hurry. Daniel, God showed mercy to Daniel. He comes out of there, he's a captive, carried away out of his own land, been emasculated, took his manhood away. So he wouldn't be a threat down there keeping the concubines and the wives of Pharaoh. Boy, that'd be a terrible fate in life, wouldn't it? Amen? You say, man, his life is ruined. His life is over. Yeah, well, God showed mercy to him, Mo. God got him advanced. You know something? That boy was the chief advisor to three administrations of Republicans. Amen. You go back there and look. Oh, Daniel served for three kings down there, buddy. Amen. And he was a number one hacho. He's better than Tony Snow or any of them fellas. I mean, they come down there and whatever Daniel said, that was the law of the land. Amen. Listen, God showed mercy to Daniel. It didn't mean Daniel didn't have problems. It didn't mean things always went his way. But I'll tell you what, God didn't leave him destitute. God didn't let him be destroyed. God showed him mercy. Amen. And just because sometimes things don't go right in your life don't mean God don't love you, and it doesn't mean that God's not going to show you some mercy. Amen. Don't bail out on God today because of a hard time. Hang on, and God will deliver. God's merciful. Joseph, God shows him mercy. Job, God shows him mercy. One of the greatest examples of mercy in the Bible is found over in the New Testament. There's a fellow named over there named Saul. And he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter. He's a Pharisee of the Pharisees, and he hates them Christians. And he's got a warrant from the high priest, and he's going all around the countryside finding them Christians and arresting them and throwing them in jail, both men and women. And he goes down there, and here's a fella down there that's preaching the gospel, and they're going to stone him to death. And Saul stood there and held his clothes and was consenting unto his death. Amen? Boy, you know, this fellow was hard. He was mean. He thought he was doing God's will, you know. But he was fighting against God the whole time. He was persecuting the church. And boy, God got him out there in a lonely road one day, wasn't too many folks around. And God knocked him on the head. He said, hey, shone that big old light around him and spoke to him right out of glory. And Saul got blinded and dumbfounded. And you know what he said? He said, Lord, what will I have me to do? And God said, gave him all his instruction and turned him from Saul of Tarsus to Paul. And he became the great apostle. Now listen, God could have knocked him down dead that very day there on the road, and he had it coming. He was persecuting the church. He was taking little boys and girls and throwing them in the jailhouse and locking them up for being Christian. He was persecuting what God was trying to do. But God showed mercy, and he put his hand on old Paul and turned his life around him. And the greatest Christian that ever lived, the man that wrote at least 13 books of the New Testament, was Paul. You know what that was? That's just God showing mercy. I love mercy. If you're guilty, you love it too. Only people don't love mercy is folks who think they ain't guilty of nothing. But I got to thinking about that and thinking about that. And we can talk about the marvelous things about mercy and the demonstration of mercy. But I want to take a few minutes and talk to you about the objects of mercy. The objects. You see, I believe sometimes God takes folks and deals with them. And they get to a point where they call on the name of the Lord. And mercy comes a running. See what I'm talking about? Well, let me show you. I'm going to illustrate it. I know a fella, a good friend of mine, now he's dead and gone home to glory now. But his name was Jim Lentz. Now, one of y'all may not know Brother Lentz. Some of you met him, but may not know a lot about him. Me and Brother Lentz were good friends for about 23, 24 years. And Jim Lentz was a red-headed reprobate. Jim Lentz, I saw a picture on his driver's license one time before he got saved. And, you know, Brent had that real kinky red hair. And when he was, before he got saved, it was long. And, of course, he was thin right here, you know. And so it came down like, and it was out on his shoulders. His hair was just straight. and he had it combed down, and it would come off his head like that. It looked like a pyramid. And his hair was down on his shoulder, but it was out to the edge of his shoulders. And here was that little bald spot right there, and that long straight. My, he's ugly. I'm telling you what, that boy was just, he's as homely as anything you've ever seen in your life. And he was a heroin addict. Some of y'all didn't know that. Some of y'all looking stunned. Jim Lentz was a dope head. I mean, buddy, and I'm not talking about a casual user or a weekend abuser. This boy was a hardcore heroin addict. Just as rough as anybody you ever seen in your life, buddy. He knew all about them gangs, come from Detroit and all up in there. That's rough country. Amen. And that was the way Jim Lentz was born and raised, son. He was rough as a cob. And one day, somehow or another, you can't explain it, God spoke to Jim Lentz's heart. And boy, that old boy got under conviction for his wickedness and his sin, and it drove him to his knees, and he got down there someplace, somewhere, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. And mercy came running. Boy, I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost of God came down and swooped in on old Jim Lentz and brought him under conviction and showed him the tragedy of his sin and his destiny as a sinner. And he got down there and he showed that old boy the Lord Jesus Christ and God's provision for sin. And God showed mercy. Mercy came running and wrapped its arms around old Jim Lentz. And that old dope head said, Lord, Lord, what will thou have me to do? God said, Jim, you've been a blasphemer and a curser and a persecutor. I want you to preach the gospel. And one of the best preachers you ever listened to in your life until the day he went home to glory was old Dr. Jim Lynn. Amen. But I tell you, that old dope head called and mercy come a running. I love that. Let me tell you something. Remember, y'all know Danny Castle, don't you? Old boy Castle been preaching around here for years and years. Danny Castle was 18 years old. He's a long-haired rock and roll drummer. He liked Led Zeppelin and he knows a lot more about rock and roll than I do. He's a lot worse sinner than I was. He liked all that hard rock, acid rock stuff. And he's a good drummer. Danny Castle told me one time, he said there's not a day of his life, there's not an hour of his life that there ain't some song going on in his head today. He liked that music. I mean, it's just in him. It comes out of him like breathing. That boy's all hung up on that rock and roll music and all the lifestyle that goes with it. And he went someplace to a church, somebody invited him, and he got down there, and the Holy Ghost of God wrote down and got a hold of old Danny Castle, and that old boy said, Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm telling you, buddy, grace and mercy come running, and wrapped his arms around old Danny Castle, and took that rock and roll out of his head, and took that rock and roll and them drums out of his life, and filled it with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and filled it with the songs of Zion. You ever wonder why Brother Castle has that big old youth choir and all that stuff? Because he knows how important music is to young people. And he gets them singing them little songs about Jesus. Amen. And he fills their head with something besides the devil's music. Amen. But I'm telling you, buddy, when he got down to that point and old Danny Castle fell on his knees and said, Lord, mercy come a running. Amen. He didn't ask for justice. He said, Lord, be merciful. And that's what God's listening for. He just wants you to ask for His mercy. And He'll come running. And He'll give you the mercy of the Lord. Amen. I remember this lady. Her name was Brenda. She's about 17, 18 years old. She's a nutcase. I'm serious, a heart attack. She had a nervous breakdown, was in a mental hospital before she was 20. She tried to commit suicide twice. She was nuts. And she was driving me nuts. I was married to her. And buddy, it was hell. That old girl was just, I mean, she just going through it. I mean, it was 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. One time, we couldn't go anywhere unless we took all the kids because she just knew we was going to get killed. And she didn't want to leave the kids behind. She wanted them to get killed with us. Then a month or two later, she didn't change her position. And no matter where we went, we had to get a sitter for the kids because she knew we was going to get killed and she didn't want the kids to get killed. I mean, she's just nutty as a fruitcake. And she ended up in a mental hospital down in Jacksonville, Florida. And down there for months and took them shock treatments and all. Now, some of y'all don't believe that today. Because one of the strongest people you ever met in your life is that same Brenda. Amen? Say, what happened? One night, sitting in the lot 15, Briarwood Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, sitting there at the kitchen table, she said, Lord, be merciful to me. I said, I remember she looked up and fear was in her eyes. She was afraid she was going to lose her husband and her way of life, but she didn't want to die and go to hell. And she was tore up inside, but she lifted up her eyes and she said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And mercy came around him, boy. And I'm telling you, mercy came down that little trailer park and wrapped his arms around old Brenda Hensley and loved her up and gave her mercy and gave her a sound mind and washed her sins away. I'm telling you, boy, if you call for mercy, mercy will come a-running. Yeah. Well, I got me a new woman that night. You want an object of mercy? I got a friend up in Kannapolis, North Carolina, named Bobby Utley. And Brother Bobby Utley is a blessing to my soul. He's not particularly educated. He's a pretty smart fella. Just doesn't have a lot of formal education. Bobby Utley worked in a cotton mill, worked for Cannon Mills for years and years. He was a cussing, blaspheming reprobate. And somebody got him to go to church one day. I've heard Bobby tell this story 20 times. I love it every time. He said he went down to Lane Street Baptist Church. And that old boy got in the pulpit and he preached and he stretched his finger out there and said, that finger's about that long. So now everything that preacher said, pointed right at him. Boy, just wagged that finger right in his face. He said, that preacher preached, and he preached, and said, and God came down, and God got in a movement, and said, boys, everything that preacher said was right to me, and said, the Holy Ghost brought conviction on my heart. He said, when that thing was over, said, I jumped up, and I ran down that aisle, and I fell on my face there in the aisle of Lane Street Baptist Church, Kannapolis, North Carolina, and he said, Lord, be merciful to me. He said, and mercy came a-running, and mercy loved his arms around me, and mercy loved me, and mercy forgave me, and mercy made me a new creature. And old Bobby Utley had been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and conviction for well over 30 years. Amen. I'll tell you one thing about Bobby Utley. If you see him in Kannapolis, if you see him down here, you see him at a preacher's fellowship, you see him on the street, you see him out in the backyard, I guess the most consistent man I've ever known. He is the same day in and day out everywhere. He'll shout about Jesus and talk about Jesus to anybody, anywhere. Amen. I had some friends up in Virginia Beach. Their name was John and Ginger Evans. John was called the mayor of Oceana. It was just a nickname because John was town drunk. Spent all of his money on liquor. And he married Ginger. They called her the bomber. They said when John married Ginger, he got a drinking buddy. John and Ginger spent all their time and all their money in a little bar down there in Oceana, Virginia. Drank up everything they had. There wasn't no locks on their doors because John had kicked all the doors in. The year I met him, John spent Christmas Eve in the flower box outside the front door in the snow, passed out drunk. The bomber was in the living room, passed out in the floor. They didn't have any heat in the house. The car wouldn't run. They didn't have any groceries. I mean, they just drunk. I'm talking about, they wasn't casual drinkers now. These two folks were drunks. And we got an old boy go to church and had this little old preacher. I never can remember his name, but I remember he was from Schoharie, Virginia. And I had him up there for a revival meeting, and that old boy only had one message. He may have had 100 texts. That old boy only had one message. If you listen to a preacher 100 times, you're going to get exactly the same thing. He was one of them take a verse, take a fit kind of guys, you know. I mean, he'd just take a verse and start rambling, and you never knew what he was going to say, but always come to like the same thing. But that old man loved God. And he'd get up there and get to preaching and shouting, and he'd take his little old hanky and wave it like that, and tears would run down his face, and God would get all over him. And we took John Evans, went down there Monday night and Tuesday night and Wednesday night and Thursday, and boy, we was a praying, and Friday night came, and it was the last night of the meeting, and that old boy preached and jumped up and down. That little fella done everything he could, and he wept and he cried, and he gave an invitation, and he gave it and he gave it and he gave it, and boy, we was all praying, and John was just sitting there with nothing happening. And I said, Lord, he's going to get out of this meeting and he ain't going to get saved. And I said, my heart was so heavy. And all of a sudden, I felt something moving. I looked over and John was sitting right there beside me. And he had his old hands on the back of that pew, gripped down like it wasn't just white. And I saw his fingers open up. And he started up out of that chair. Boy, my heart was going about 500 miles an hour. And John Enos Evans stood up out of that pew and slipped over like that. And before you could say it, he was down front and on his knee. And that old boy got saved. He got down there and he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And mercy come a running and throwed his arms around that old trunk and loved him and changed his life and got a hold of his wife and that old trunk and his old drunk wife and they didn't have nothing and wasted everything. Fell in love with each other and fell in love with God, and God changed them and made them new creature. I'm here to tell you, boy, I love that mercy thing. I love it when mercy comes a running. That's what I like the objects of mercy better than the doctrinal part of mercy, don't you? Listen, I know this fellow's name is Lewis. He's a big old boy. He's an obnoxious cuss. He used to poke fun at religion. Me and him worked for the same company one time. I come in my office one day. I had a fellow make a pulpit for me. And I came in there. In my office, they took everybody in my office out. And they put that pulpit in there. And put four chairs in front of it and put a W.W. Granger catalog on it for a Bible and an ashtray for an offering plate. And put a sign on the front door, First Church of the Self-Righteous. He thought that was funny. This old boy didn't have no use for God. He come from a good home, came from a godly home, had a godly mama. But he cared about God, and he had adopted every wrong philosophy about life that you can possibly imagine. If there was a way to look at it wrong, if there was a way to take a liberal slant and a progressive slant, that's what he had. He was messed up as anybody, and had no idea that he was messed up. And somehow you can't explain the mysteries of God begin to work and move, and God got down in that old boy's heart, and there was a day when old Lewis said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." And mercy came a-running and wrapped his arms around old Lewis and loved him to God and changed his life and put his marriage together. Made him become a daddy to his children. And God said, "I'm going to use that good mind you've been wasting. Won't you preach?" I'm telling you, buddy, the works of mercy are beyond description. You can't imagine who God will pick or why He'll pick them or how He'll use them. It's just amazing. It's amazing. But I'm telling you, that mercy that God extends to those vessels that don't deserve mercy, it's an amazing thing. And I would feel like I had not done all I ought to do this morning. If I didn't mind myself, then I'm a product of God's great mercy. I remember when Bob Hensley was a confirmed and vocal agnostic. I remember when he cursed God. I remember him standing on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier 12,000 miles from home and teasing them little old boys and taunting them little old boys, poking fun at the things of God. Stand on the flight deck of an aircraft carrier in a war zone. Them little boys up there at 17, 18, 20 years old. And I say, "You know how I light my cigarettes when I ain't got a match?" And they'd kind of shrug. And I'd hold my pell-mell red up like that. And I'd say, "God's a fake." They'd turn white. It'd scare them to death. I thought that was hilarious. I ridiculed God. I laughed at God. I blasphemed God. I used to tell all them jokes. I'm not going to tell them to y'all because I wish I could get them out of my head. God keeps them in there. I think so. Just keep me humble. But boy, I tell you what, I was an agnostic. I was a thoroughgoing evolutionist. I read all there was pretty much about most of the great philosophies and the great religions of the day, and nothing helped me. And I just got more bitter and more cynical, and I poked fun at it. And one night, this old redneck sat down with an old Schofield Bible and began to talk to me, and I couldn't answer his question. And my reason and my logic failed me. And God, the Holy Spirit, began to work in my heart. And boy, about 25 minutes after 11, March the 4th, 1972, Lot 15, Briarwood, Trailer Park, Meridian, Mississippi, United States of America, planet Earth, God, the Holy Spirit rode down the hills of glory and arrested my soul. And I cried, Lord, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I'm telling you, mercy came a-running and wrapped his arms around that old agnostic and loved him to God. Changed his life. Changed his family. Changed his heart. Say, why? Because God showed mercy to a fellow that didn't deserve mercy. See, preacher, why did you say all that this morning? I want you to understand. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you are. You can be a heroin addict. You can be into the grunge and the rock and roll. You can be a mental case. You can be stuck on yourself. You can be anything. And if you'll call on the name of the Lord, mercy will come running. You don't have to die and go to hell. You don't have to live without God. You don't have to live without His grace. You don't have to live without His love. If you'll call, I'm here to tell you, mercy will come running. God will wrap His big old arms around you and love you and save you for Jesus. I'm glad I found mercy before I found justice. Amen. Thank God for the mercy of God. And that same mercy is available today. He didn't quit saving folks when He got Danny Castle and Jim Lentz or Bob or Brother Lewis. Or me. He didn't quit then. He's still here. He ever liveth. And He changes not. He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. But if you'll fall and say, Lord, be merciful to me, mercy will come running. Miss Jordan, won't you come play this morning? She's going to play Just As I Am.